So on those connect cards, if you have things to celebrate, obviously there are places for you to connect, but there are also opportunities for you to give praise report. My challenge to you today, you can tell somebody before you go, whether it be the prayer team or one of the hospitality team or one of our incredible greeters at the door, maybe just someone sitting beside you, tell them what God is doing in your life or tell them what it is that you are hoping for. Our question today that we're going to seek to answer in the midst of Isaiah is this: am I someone who is willing and ready to follow the Lord when he speaks? Am I someone who is ready and willing to follow the Lord when he speaks? The tagline for that is, what if I don't like it? So fun, right? Listen, God wants to expand my bank account. Lord, take me wherever you need me to go. Right? I'm ready. God wants to provide free pizzas for me for a lifetime. God, I'm in. Show me what doors to walk through. But what about when God asks you to do something that you're not necessarily comfortable with? The book of Isaiah walks us through these times where the prophet Isaiah continually is brought before the kings of Judah, and he is delivering these messages that aren't that great to hear. Because we've walked as a congregation through the book of Isaiah, because we've walked through Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and the rest of the Old Testament up onto this point, we know that this is not the first time that God's people are being told enough. We know that this is not the first time that God's people are being told, look to me. We know that this is not the first time that God's people are being told, you have strayed from the path. And so now God's sovereignty is beginning to come to the forefront. Will the people of Israel, will the people of Judah choose their own sovereignty in their lives, or will they walk forward with the Lord? Isaiah 13, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah steps into the midst of this chapter and speaks these words. The oracle concerning Babylon, which is another nation outside of Israel, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw. On a bare hill, raise a signal. Cry aloud to them. Wave the hand for them to enter the gates of the nobles. I myself have commanded my consecrated ones and have summoned my mighty men to execute my anger, my proudly exalting ones. An interesting verse here that we enter into. As Isaiah says that God has now described Babylon as his consecrated ones, that they are his exalted mighty men who will bring forth his anger towards what we already know are God's chosen people. Babylon is described as the consecrated ones, someone that God has called unto himself, but we know that Babylon itself has not consecrated themselves to God. Instead, God is exclaiming here, I have chosen them because those who I have called by my name are walking on their own path. God uses them in the midst of still judging them in their sin to accomplish his greater purpose here for Israel. One of the questions here that we need to wrestle through is, what is God doing? What is happening here in the midst of Israel's judgment that God would elevate a totally separate people group in order that Israel would learn its lesson? We see in the Old Testament that Abraham and many of the church fathers had dedicated themselves to following after God. Abraham specifically, when he didn't even fully understand who God was. He learned about God and established this deep lineage that we are still a part of today as he went on this journey of trust and faith. Abraham is spoken about in the New Testament as an individual who is deep in faith. And so because of Abraham's faith, the people of Israel become his chosen people. And we said last week that his chosen people were not simply called to dwell in the fact that they are chosen. Hello? They weren't simply called to dwell in the fact like, oh, look at us, we're so special. No, they were chosen for a purpose. God gave them the law. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He established the sacrificial system amongst them for a purpose, that as they followed after the statutes of the Lord, they would look different than every other tribe that surrounded them. That there would be something that would set them apart. As we read through the stories of the Old Testament, as we go through the prophecies that are spoken over the Old Testament people, do not forget, as we talked about last week, that we, in order to bring this into current day context, it's important to know what's going on, but it's also important to remember that we live under a new covenant. And although we are under a new covenant, although the systems and the function of how God is moving in and amongst our world, in and amongst our city has changed, the desire for all of the world to know Jesus has not shifted. Hallelujah. Church, as believers, one of the greatest statutes that we can remember is that the moment that you have Jesus in your life, can you remember that moment? Do you remember that time where God called out to you and you responded? Do you remember that time where you realized with clarity that your sins had been forgiven? Do you remember that time, maybe kneeling, maybe flat on your face, maybe sitting, maybe praying with someone else, where God's Spirit touched you in such a way that you understood that you had done nothing to deserve the holiness, the righteousness, the peace, the mercy, and the joy that was filling you to overflowing at that moment? Church, do you remember that moment where God called you his own and you said, yes, I believe. I believe. In that moment that you found Jesus and established him as your Lord and as your Savior, your mission, your purpose, your reason, your for such a time as this was established in a brand new way. And it had nothing to do with the talents and the gifts and the spiritual gifts and all the things. Didn't matter if you had the right color tie on or anything like that. What happened in that moment is God says, now we are together. Give me away. Oh, it's such a good revelation. Something that I love about the church here in Kanata is that there is a deep groaning in this place that others would know about Christ. Okay, that was your chance to be like, yeah, that's us. Okay, all right, here we go. So, talking about you guys, everyone sitting here, there is a deep groaning in this place. There is a desire that this city, that our friends, that our families, that those that we work with, that they would know about Jesus. There we go. Otherwise, I was going to say, okay, never forget. We're establishing it then today. No, I truly believe, as your pastor who's been able to sit and eat and pray and believe with many of you here today, that I believe that there is a deep desire to see baptismal tanks flow to overflowing. I believe that there is a deep desire that parents out there that don't know which way that they could turn would know you're not alone. You're not alone. God is with you. He is with you. He has never left you. He is speaking to you today. I believe that there's a desire in this room that God would speak to our young people and remind them that they don't have to wait until they're 24 and for some reason they're looking at us like we know what we're doing. But that God can actually use them today in their schools. To establish new Christian clubs that will meet at lunchtime, to pray for their friends in the middle of the hall as they're walking to the next class, to make a lasting difference in the lives of their friends who are desperate to know, what can I actually stand on? Is there any firm foundation in this world? There is. His name is Jesus. And the Israelites were called to set that example. They were to set the example of who God was. And our challenge has not changed if the revelation that we can bring forward is completely different. Isaiah approaches the king and the kingdom and says, listen, You have walked your own way for such an extended amount of time. You have heard the warnings of the Lord. You have heard the Holy Spirit speaking out to you, and yet you have chosen yourself over and over and over again. It is not love to let you to continue to go forward without calling you to the holiness that's available. It is not love to simply allow you to mistakenly continue to walk in these ways and assume that there is no punishment, that there is no justice, that there is no standard for righteousness. If Israel is to point the way to the Father, then they have to point the way to the Father. And so God says that I will use the nation beside to remind you, you can't do this on your own. You cannot accomplish the call that I have placed on you simply by best wishes and filling your life with everything that you want. If the world is to know who the Father is, then we must, to the best of our ability, represent him. So we ask the question again, am I someone who is ready to follow the Lord when he speaks? About 2.5 years ago, we started this journey called Becoming Heartstrong. And it has been an incredible time in God's word. It has been an incredible time. I watch as just congregation members at 6 a.m. in the morning and again in the evening bring forth the word, and some of the passages that they are given are challenging. It's hard. It's the type of things that I get emails from. I'm like, what do you think about these passages? Before I get, what do you, I just want to know, because this is tough. But what a church that would be committed to say, no, we want to read all of it. Want to read the exciting passages. Want to read the challenging passages. We want to read the passages where you got to read them and read them and read them again, and then go to prayer and come back and read them, and then go to your pastor and come back and read them, and then bring them to discipleship night and then pray again. And we want to dig into that because they're there for a purpose. So it is okay for us to wrestle through Scripture. But the real reason that we launched into Becoming Heartstrong isn't because it's a cool thing to say, that we're a church that's journeying through Scripture all the way through the term of 3 years. No, the reason that we established that Becoming Heartstrong was something relevant was because there is a problem existing right now across our nation. That those who claim to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior do not know their word. And I think for all of us, myself included, went to Bible college. Hello. There are things in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. There are things in Ecclesiastes where I was like, woohoo, forgot that was in there. There was shallow discipleship across our nation. And when the polls and when all the stats were collected, it would show over and over and over again that there is a decreasing literacy amongst God's people when it comes to Scripture. And so Pastor Jason and Pastor Lori and our SLT and our campus pastors and then all the way through the rest of the staff were in agreements that whatever it is that we can do, let's go on that journey. And so we haven't, you know, fixed the problem, but what we have done is we have stepped into what it is that we believe that God was speaking across our nation, and we asked the Lord, what is it that we can do to remind people that there is a beauty in the Word of God? Those of you that have been on this journey of becoming heartstrong, hasn't it been so good? Hasn't it been so good? To get up and dig into God's word, to follow along together, to know even today that you know that we're in the book of Isaiah. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah next week. Pray for Pastor Cassie. She has some of those verses coming up where she said, hey, what do you think about this? But it's good. And it produces us a hunger for more. Church, if our city, if our nation, if our workplaces, if our schools, if our families are going to taste and see that God is good, we have to be eating the word. If our nation, if our country, if our city, if our neighborhoods, if our workplaces, if our loved ones are going to taste and see that God is good, we have to be eating the word of the Lord. We need to sit in his word. We need to allow it to shape and mold us. We need to allow ourselves to be able to stand in the midst of temptation, in the midst of darkness, and say, no, devil, you're wrong, because I'm not living for me. And I'm not living by what it is that I can see. I'm not living by what it is that I understand. I am living by the word of the Lord and the example of Christ that has been set before me. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1. The issue is coming forward, but you know through last week as we brought it up and in your own reading in the book of Isaiah that yes, there is judgment, but thank the Lord, there's hope. Isaiah 14, chapter 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. For the Lord will have compassion on Jacob, and again, will choose Israel and will set them in their own land, and sojourners will join them and will attach themselves to the house of Jacob. Church, the whole world coming to salvation is not a new idea. It is alive and well here in the Old Testament that God's purpose was always that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that yes, he is. Maybe you're here in this room and you're feeling that distance from the Lord. Maybe you're here in this room and you're saying, Pastor Mitch, I just can't hear him. Young people in this room, maybe you're here and your relationship with God over the last couple of weeks, as school has started back up, just isn't as vibrant as it was at camp. God would speak to you through Isaiah 14 and he would say, I am still choosing you. My heart is for you. The question becomes, am I ready to follow the Lord when he speaks? The subtext of that question is, how can you find out if God is speaking if you're not with him daily in your prayer closet? How can you find out if God is speaking if you're not opening your word on a regular basis? Church, we got to dig in to these things that God has provided for us. You have unfettered access to the throne room because of the Holy Spirit that is alive and well in you. Do not allow the distractions of the world to make that insignificant. It carries of utmost significance. You can open your phones, you can open your Bibles, and you can begin to go through in your own reading journey what it is that God has set forward. These are the same things found in the Old Testament that Jesus himself used to rebuke the devil in the wilderness. Pride is the unwillingness to be humbled. Humility is the willingness to say, God, not me, but you. Pride is the unwillingness to be humbled. It's sitting in that place or coming to church on a Sunday or sitting with your friends or sitting with the Word of God and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to say, you see yourself here, don't you? You say, God, that's not what I came here for. Humility is the willingness to say, God, I want you to read my life like the open book that I have before me. Wherever I am, if it doesn't look like you, if it doesn't sound like you, if I'm not thinking, God, help me. Bring about that correction because all I want is you. Am I someone who is ready to follow the Lord when he speaks? Where does this arrogance and this pride, this unwillingness to be humble before the Lord, where does this come from? Well, Isaiah actually gets into that in chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. How are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? How you are cut to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Here, Isaiah speaks into the reality of the spiritual war and the spiritual realm and what it is that's taking place. Babylon will be a problem for the nation of Israel. The prophecy that Isaiah speaks will actually come to fruition about 100 years later after it is spoken. It is a problem on the horizon, but the actual issue, the core issue here, is not the enemy who will come marching at their physical gates. It is the enemy who comes marching at their spiritual heart. The day star or son of dawn here listed in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, are given names to a singular entity, Lucifer. Church, it is not against flesh and blood that we battle, but against the principalities. And there is one who, as the Bible describes, was given much prominence in the kingdom of God, was given much prominence as a worship leader in the heavenly realm, and yet wanted all of that praise to go unto himself. And Isaiah speaks into this, you who wanted to ascend above, to be seated above. And the same thing that had Lucifer and one third of the angels cast out of heaven is the same trap that he tries to catch all of us in. Why not choose yourself instead of choosing the Lord? Is that really what God told you to do? Not to eat that fruit? Did he really say that you would die? Church, the same temptation that is spoken out here, the same things that Israel is guilty of, is the same thing that we have to arm ourselves against every single day. The reminder that there will be temptation, that there will be opportunities for you today, tomorrow, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, where you can step into a situation and you can elevate yourself while making God a little smaller. So many aspects of our sin, if you go back to those times where you've fallen, where you've given into temptation, so many of those things can be brought back to pride. I deserve this. Well, this is what I need in this moment. Well, you know, God's not answering my prayer, so what if I just did it myself? There's so much of us in these instances. And you'll see this in the Old Testament, you'll see it in the New Testament. How is it that Lucifer himself approaches Jesus and says, listen, I know what it is that you want. I know that you're hungry. I know what God has sent you here for. Just throw yourself off this building. The angels will catch you and everyone will see that you are the Son of God. Bow before me and I will make this journey for you on earth so much easier. And how does Jesus respond? It's not me. Oh, Satan. You stand before me and you're approaching my heart, but I'm not here to represent myself. I am here to point the way to the Father. And church, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, for you as well. Am I someone who is ready to follow the Lord when he speaks? Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. But what did we say last week? But if my people who are called by my name will humble. See, there's always the opposite. Isn't that the greatest thing about the Lord's word? Right here it is. Isaiah is laying out what will to come. And yet the entire latter part of this scripture, the entire latter part of these prophecies are all about the Messiah. It's all about Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our friend, our confidant, our God. What is it that God is asking you to do today? Church, our God is holy. He is righteous. He is love. He is peace. He is mercy. He is kindness. He is goodness. And he wants to pour all of these things into your life. May we be a people that enter into every situation and ask the Lord, what are you saying here, God? Maybe he's saying, just close the screen. I know what you want, but just close the screen. Maybe he's saying, forgive. Not to give permission that it was okay, but forgive. To take the weight of unforgiveness from your neck, place it at my feet. Maybe he's saying this morning, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But you have been given my sandals of peace. Walk ye in it. Maybe he's saying this morning, don't take your eyes from the cross. I know what it is that you're going through. You feel like I'm silent. But I have spoken through the cross. Your sins are forgiven. I breathed my breath into my son. He is risen. And you are mine. Church, we serve the God of the miraculous. If you don't believe that, just look around you today. When I came on staff 3 years ago, had this awesome conversation with Pastor Jason and Lori, and they said, I don't know where Kanata's going to go, but we're just excited to see how God moves through you and your family and through the staff and through the congregation. And I'm telling you right now, whether it be Orleans, Cornwall, Kanata, we are sitting in the midst of the miraculous. Each and every one of you. What Pastor